हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कंचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिय पंचकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानं पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। Yeah, okay, text 6, page 800. Etanyapi tu karmani sangam chaktva palani cha kartavyani time partha nishchitam mutam uttamam. Translation: all these activities should be performed without attachment or any expectation of result. They should be performed as a matter of duty, O Sanaprita. That is my final opinion. Text 7.
Niyatasya tu sannyasa karmano no papajate mohatasya parityagas tamasa parikirtita.
Translation: prescribed duties should never be renounced. If one gives up his prescribed duties because of illusion, such renunciation is said to be in the mode of ignorance.
Text 8. Dukam ityeva yat karma kaya klesha bhayat jajit sakrit varajasam tyagam naiva tyaga palam labet.
Translation: anyone who gives up prescribed duties as troublesome or out of fear of bodily discomfort is said to have renounced in the mode of passion. Such action never leads to the elevation of renunciation.
Text 9. Kayam ityeva yat karma niyatam kriyate arjuna sangam chaktva palam taiva satyaga satviko mataha.
Translation: O Arjuna, when one performs his prescribed duty only because it ought to be done, and renounces all material association and all attachment to the fruit, his renunciation is said to be in the mode of goodness.
Text 10. Madvesya kushalam karma kushale nanushajyate tyagi sattva-samavishto medhavi chinna samshaya.
Translation: the intelligent renouncer, situated in the mode of goodness, neither hateful of inauspicious work nor attached to auspicious work, has no doubts about work.
Text 11. Nahi deha brita shakyam chaktum karmanya sheshataha yastu karma phala tyagi satyagi tyabhidhiyate.
Translation: it is indeed impossible for an embodied being to give up all activities, but he who renounces the fruits of action is called one who has truly renounced. So, the idea we were reading the other day, that sannyas is considered to be the giving up of actions. So, real sannyas means not to give up all actions, but to give up materialistic actions and trade them in. In other words, instead of working for fruitive results, one can perform activities for the pleasure of the Supreme. That's real sannyas. gives up everything. Satnyas. He gives up everything for the benefit of the spiritual advancement. Krishna is saying here, you cannot stop working. You cannot give up all activities. It's impossible. Nahi deha brita shakyam chaktum karmanya sheshataha. Never, it's never possible to renounce all activities altogether. But one who renounces the fruits, he's truly renounced. He's the real tyagi. One who doesn't try to enjoy the results of his activities. Materialistic person, they're also studying. There's so many night classes going on, adult night classes. They're studying. But they're studying, their mood is sense gratification. I want to enjoy this study in some way or other, either get a degree or to get some knowledge about the world or some type of pleasure he's trying to enjoy, subtle or gross, or both. But one who's hearing this knowledge, we see that the fruit is all being given to Krishna. In other words, let's say someone becomes learned in the science. As a result of his being learned, others may wish to hear from him, maybe become his students, or they wish to give donations to him, or he has influence or fame, but he gives all that to Krishna. That's all for Krishna's pleasure. Whatever gains come from his learning, that is given to Krishna. And whatever losses come from his lack of learning, that also Krishna takes responsibility for that. Although the devotee, he may feel himself that he's incompetent. But still, Krishna takes responsibility. So we're going on, reading next. Number 12. Anishtam ishtam ishram cha trividam karmana palam bhavat yatyaginam pretya natu sanyasinam kvachit. Translation. For one who has not renounced the threefold fruits of action, desirable, undesirable, and mixed, accrue after death. But for those who are in the renounced order of life, have no result to suffer or enjoy. 13. Panchaitani mahabaho karanani sarvakarmanam. Translation. Almighty armed Arjuna, according to the Vedanta, there are five causes for the accomplishment of all action. Now learn of these from me. 14. Adhishtanam tata karta karanam cha pratag vidam vividas cha pratag cheshta daivam chaivatra panchamam. Translation. The place of action, the body. The performer, the various senses, the many different kinds of endeavor, and ultimately the super soul, these are the five factors of action. Text 15. Shariravan mano bhiryat karma prarabhyate nara nyayam va viparitam va panchaite tasya hetava. Translation. Whatever right or wrong action a man performs by body, mind, or speech is caused by these five factors. And finally, text 16. Tatraivam satikartaram Atmanam kevalam yuta pasyat yakrita buddhitvan nasapashati turmatihi.
Translation. Therefore, one who thinks himself the only doer, not considering the five factors, is certainly not very intelligent and cannot see things as they are.
Going back to text 6.
All these activities should be performed without attachment or any expectation of results. They should be performed as a matter of duty, O son of Pritha. That is my final opinion. Purport. Although all sacrifices are purifying, one should not expect any result by such performances. In other words, all sacrifices which are meant for material advancement in life should be given up, but sacrifices that purify one's existence and elevate one to the spiritual plane should not be stopped. Everything that leads to Krishna consciousness must be encouraged. In the Srimad Bhagavatam also, it is said that any activity which leads to devotional service to the Lord should be accepted. That is the highest criterion of religion. A devotee of the Lord should accept any kind of work, sacrifice, or charity which will help him in the discharge of devotional service to the Lord.
Okay, next.
Prescribed duties should never be renounced. If one gives up his prescribed duties because of illusion, such renunciation is said to be in the mode of ignorance. Purport. Work for material satisfaction must be given up, but activities which promote one to spiritual activity, like cooking for the Supreme Lord and offering the food to the Lord and then accepting the food, are recommended. It is said that a person in the renounced order of life should not cook for himself. Cooking for oneself is prohibited, but cooking for the Supreme Lord is not prohibited. Similarly, a sannyasi may perform a marriage ceremony to help his disciple in the advancement of Krishna consciousness. If one renounces such activities, it is to be understood that he is acting in the mode of darkness.
So, yes. Sannyasi. And a sannyasi is not interested in encouraging ordinary marriages. He's not interested in trying to encourage people to become attached to the material world and to become illusioned. But if such sacrifice, vivaha yajna, will be helpful for the advancement of the disciple, then the spiritual master or the sannyasi agrees. In the case of Prabhupada, he performed marriages. There was some criticism in India that why is he's a sannyasi, but he's involving himself in marriages. This is not proper. But Prabhupada knew exactly what was proper and what was not proper, and he knew that it's not possible for everyone to remain in the renounced stage of life. For those who are requiring that, ashram is available and it will help them advance in Krishna consciousness. So he doesn't give up things that have value. This is the difference between the impersonalists and the Vaishnavas. The impersonalists, they think that all activity is contaminated. They think all things are contaminated. All words are contaminated. All forms, all sounds, all thoughts. Everything they think is contaminated. It's all Maya. Therefore, they're called Mayavadis. However, a Krishna conscious person knows anasakta shavishayan, Yataramupuyunjita, Nirbanda Krishna Sambandhe Yukta Vairagya Muchite. Prapanchikitaya Buddhya Hari Sambandha Vastina Mamukshubi Parityago Vairagyam Palguputkatite. He knows that everything, it belongs to Krishna and it can be used in Krishna's service. So, what's there to renounce? Why should he not utilize something in the service of its owner? Only if he's afraid that he may steal it or he may misuse it, then he may renounce. The impersonalists are very afraid that they're going to misuse the material energy. They have this fear that they're addicts and they're afraid to get too close to the material energy, which may be healthy in the beginning. It's a fact that even the impersonal path may be of some value in the beginning to help one become detached. But it still becomes a stumbling block because now his heart has become hard. Now he has become callous to the personality of Godhead. He's rejected God. So although he's also rejected the material world, but he's also rejected the spiritual world. In other words, he threw out the baby with the bathwater. You know that expression? Someone wants the baby's been bathed, now you want to get rid of the water quickly, so you throw it out, but you forget the baby's still in there. So that's not good. And that's what the impersonalists do. They're so eager to become renounced from Maya that they throw out the spiritual dimension as well. But the devotees don't do that. The devotees, they naturally lose their attraction to the material energy, but their attraction to the spiritual energy increases. Their attraction to Krishna goes on increasing unlimitedly. And they know how to utilize everything in Krishna's service. They know how to use buildings, they know how to use computers, airplanes, you name it, they know how to use it in Krishna's service. Is there anything you can name that they don't know how to use? You may say nuclear weapons. How would they use nuclear weapons? Well, they would say that nuclear weapons are meant for the demons, to eliminate them. Of course, nuclear weapons are not necessary. They're not even desirable. But the demons have created them to annihilate other demons. And in this way, one demon is sent to annihilate other demons. This is the law of karma. And everyone becomes entangled. But a Krishna-conscious person, although he knows that everything is going on under the karmic law, supervised by Maya and Krishna, still, out of compassion, he knows that Krishna gives dispensation, he gives release to anyone who changes, who has a change of heart, anyone who will call out in the name of Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. Anyone who calls out the name of the Lord, he will not have to pay for all of his mistakes. He's freed from those mistakes. Any questions? Yes?
We can appreciate that the impersonalists sometimes utter words like Om or Chaitanya. Are they benefited from this kind of chanting?
They're benefited, yes, but not as benefited as if they would chant Hare Krishna. Of course, chanting Chaitanya is nice. So they get some. That was part of Lord Chaitanya's trick, that he would trick the Mayavadis by taking sannyas in the Mayavadi line. So they were thinking that he's one of us. And they accepted him into their fold, and then they were willing to even sit with him and even listen to him. That was a mistake, but that was Lord Chaitanya's plan. Had he not taken sannyas in the Mayavad Bharati line, then how could he have delivered such personalities as Prakasananda Saraswati or even Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya? Sarvabhauma said, oh, it's very nice you've taken sannyas in the Bharati line. If you like, I can reinitiate you into the Saraswati line. He wanted to do that. He was not pleased. Well, he felt that Bharati sannyas is a little lower. It's one of the lower. It's lower. Saraswati is the highest. So his name was... Prakasananda was in the Saraswati line. And Sarva Bhauma Bhattacharya. He was not a sannyasi, but still he was so highly honored. He was practically the spiritual master of the king of Orisha, almost. The king, Maharaj Prataparudra, was practically, because Sarvabhauma was the main chief priest of the Jagannath temple. That's why when Lord Chaitanya arrived and he fainted on the floor in the temple room in front of the deity, the guards wanted to just throw him out and just, you know, maybe beat him also for making a disturbance. But Sarvabhauma came there and said, no, this person is not a pretender, he's a real advanced soul. Took him to his house. Is that an answer? Okay, next.
Anyone who gives up prescribed duties as troublesome or out of fear of bodily discomfort is said to have renounced in the mode of passion. Such action never leads to the elevation of renunciation.
It's not a good excuse that I didn't do my duty because it was difficult. I found that it was too troublesome or it was going to be unpleasant. So this is renunciation, but you've given up. You've renounced your duty because it's too troublesome. I gave it up. No, we should not give up devotional activities because of some austerity or some difficulty. Matras parshas. Konteya shitoshna sukadukada agama paino nichas tangstitikshasabharata. Krishna says the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress, heat and cold, summer and winter seasons, the arise of sense perception, O Sayana Bharata, one must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. When it's too hot, if we think, well, I won't cook this summer, I'll wait till the winter time to cook. No, cooking has to go on. And in winter, all the activities. Therefore, one has to learn how to tolerate the dualities of the material world. Sometimes he'll be blamed. Sometimes he'll be praised. Sometimes his mind will be peaceful and sometimes it will be disturbed. So let's say someone says, well, my mind's disturbed, so I'm not going to do my duty. No, your mind is disturbed. That's because we still have material attachments. But if we perform our duty, gradually we'll get free.
Devotees who were practicing Krishna consciousness in the former Soviet Union were sometimes captured by the government and tortured by being forced to eat eggs and taking various drugs, etc. So was it a mistake on their part to actively be Krishna conscious and thereby maybe have the Krishna consciousness be compromised? Was this a mistake on their part?
Was it a mistake that they acted like they were Krishna conscious?
That they continued with their devotional service even though in the ultimate it appeared that they became compromised through being forced to eat eggs and take government drugs, etc.
Devotee is always protected, even if it appears that he's performed some abominable activity. If he's engaged in devotional service, then he's not affected. There are many examples. Haridas Thakur was tested but he passed the test. So even if it appears that there's something lacking on the part of a devotee in his service, still he's glorious. He becomes, because he's surrendered to Krishna, what can he do if someone is forcing him? So that can be seen, that this is due to some past activity that he may have to receive the result of. But upon finishing that, then, like Yudhisthira Maharaj, he made some mistake, so he had to see hell. He had to see hell for that mistake. So that's, or some devotee may get a disease. We may think, well, why would Krishna allow him to get a disease? He's doing nice service. Krishna has a bigger plan. Krishna knows what the best thing is. We may think that this is not a good idea that Krishna should take this person away. He should stay. But Krishna has the big plan. Ultimately, it's perfect. Even if he puts the devotee in a difficult circumstance. Ultimately, in the final conclusion, the devotee will shine forth. It will be recognized that his position is not contaminated for the pure devotee. So we'll go on. Text 9. O Arjuna, when one performs his prescribed duty only because it ought to be done and renounces all material association and all attachment to the fruit, his renunciation is said to be in the mode of goodness. Translation 10. The intelligent renouncer, situated in the mode of goodness, neither hateful of inauspicious work nor attached to auspicious work, has no doubts about work. So inauspicious work means that which appears to be inauspicious according to material calculations. It's like politics is inauspicious in a sense because it's contaminating, having to deal with diplomacy and violence. It's like Arjuna. He was a Kshatriya, so he had to engage in violence. That's inauspicious, killing people. So he thought, I'll give up this inauspicious activity of killing. But what he forgot was that if Krishna authorizes something, then even that which was considered to be inauspicious or still is considered inauspicious by the common man, it's not. It actually is transcendental. And the example is that Arjuna, although he was fighting apparently for a kingdom, he still glorified. He didn't become contaminated. Text 11 or 10. Intelligent renouncer. Oh, we read that. 11. It is indeed impossible for an embodied... We discussed that. 12. For one who has not renounced the threefold fruits of action, desirable, undesirable, and mixed, accrue after death. But those who are in the renounced order of life have no such result to suffer or enjoy. The idea is that as long as one wants to take responsibility for the results, then he'll have to take responsibility. That means he has to pay. He gains or he loses. If he performs pious activities, he gains materially. If he performs impious activities, he loses materially. Whereas if he acts on behalf of Krishna, then the winning of material opulence, it doesn't affect him because he gives it all to Krishna. It doesn't stick to him. Because he has no mentality of trying to enjoy the fruits. Whatever he does for Krishna's pleasure.
Sometimes people give up ISKCON, thinking it to be troublesome. I was wondering, what is the secret of success to remain in ISKCON for one's lifetime?
Why is one performing devotional service? He should want to please the predecessors, please the spiritual master. So, please Krishna. Of course, in the beginning, we don't know about the spiritual master, so we just think I want to be happy, and I want to be good. I want to do the right thing. I want to get knowledge. I want to get freedom from anxiety. But as he goes on, he'll learn that everything is achieved by trying to please Krishna. That's what Krishna consciousness means. And the spiritual master is his representative that is sent for us to offer our service to him. Our service to Krishna goes through yasya prasada bhagavat prasado yasya prasada nagatika topi. Just like the president wants everyone to give taxes, but the president doesn't personally come and take your taxes. We send it to someone else and they give it to the president. So if someone wants to please the president or please the government leaders, then he's willing to submit himself to their representatives. If he says, when the tax man comes and says, please pay your tax, he says, get out of here, you're not the president. No, I'm not the president, but I'm authorized by the president. And what I get, I hand it on to someone else and it goes up to the president. And if you don't give to me, you're going to find that the president becomes very angry with you. And you will be punished. Maybe not by me, but by the president or his men. Go on.
Which text?
Text 13.
O mighty armed Arjuna, according to the Vedanta, there are five causes for the accomplishment of all action. Now learn of these from me.
Next.
The place of action. We got this far?
Yes.
The place of action, the body, the performer, the various senses, the many different kinds of endeavor, and ultimately the supersoul, these are the five factors of action.
15.
Whatever right or wrong action a man performs by body, mind, or speech is caused by these five factors.
16.
Therefore, one who thinks himself the only doer, not considering the five factors, is certainly not very intelligent and cannot see things as they are.
Let's read about these five factors. The purport to 14.
The word adhisthanam refers to the body. The soul within the body is acting to bring about the results of activity and is therefore known as karta, the doer. That the soul is the knower and the doer is stated in the Shruti. Esha hi drishta shastra, Prashna Upanishad 4.9. It is also confirmed in the Vedanta Sutra by the verses Jyotaiva 2.3.18 and Karta Shastra Rtavatvat 2.3.33. The instruments of action are the senses, and by the senses the soul acts in various ways. For each and every action there is a different endeavor, but all of one's activities depend on the will of the Supersoul, who is seated within the heart as a friend. The Supreme Lord is the super cause. Under these circumstances, he who is acting in Krishna consciousness under the direction of the Supersoul situated within the heart is naturally not bound by any activity.
The Supersoul is guiding Antaryami. He's within the heart. But the external manifestation of the Supersoul is the spiritual master, who's giving us the same directions on the outside. So those who can hear the instructions from the inside, then they also hear the same instruction from the outside, from the guru. But those who don't hear the Supersoul within, they have to. There's only one way they can hear. They have to follow. So we're in that situation. We don't know. We don't know how to hear Supersoul. If you consider what did Supersoul tell you during the day today, you might. Some people they imagine something, and they take it that imagination to be Supersoul. It's more like their mind. They're just speculating. They think, well, God told me to go to the races today and bet on the horse. You know. That's not. God didn't tell you to do that. God didn't tell you to blow up this building. That wasn't God. That was Maya. That was illusory energy. That was your own ghostly haunted consciousness. People are ghostly haunted, and they're directed to do wrong things, and they say God told them to do it, but God didn't tell you to do that. Why should God tell you to do something vicious? And then when you go a little further, I say, yes, well, I thought that I got a feeling that God was speaking to me. I heard him. That means they're hallucinating. Because to become qualified for God, to see God and to hear God, one has to be pure. But in that stage of becoming pure, one has to take the representative of God and follow his advice, which is as good as following Krishna's instructions. Questions?
If Krishna wants us to end our material existence, do we have much to say in the matter?
Yes, because he doesn't take away our free will. He, of course, wants us to end our material existence. That's why he comes and speaks Bhagavad Gita. But yatechasitatakaru. Now you've heard everything. Now you do as you wish to do. Krishna doesn't force. Like the father, he may have many good ideas for his son. If you come, you live here, we'll work together, you'll do this, you'll do that. But he doesn't force the son. He says, it's your choice. But he tries to explain everything. Sometimes his sons follow, sometimes they don't. If they don't, then they have to take the consequences themselves. And if they do something wrong and they end up in prison for 30 years, the father is disappointed, but that's the right of the child.
It seems that because we're Krishna's eternal servants by constitution, in one sense we are forced to be engaged.
We are forced. No, you can go on. You don't have to serve Krishna. You can go on serving material energy forever, if you like. Krishna will never force. He's very renounced. He's the most renounced Vairagya. So one of the signs of his renunciation is he gives away free will of the living entity perpetually. He gives that over. He could take it away, it's fact, but he doesn't do that.
Those in complete Krishna consciousness are not ultimately responsible for their actions. Everything is dependent on the supreme will, the super soul, the supreme personality of Godhead.
It's like in the army. If the soldier is told, now you throw your grenade, blow up that building, well, he has to blow up the building. That's his duty. And he's not held responsible. The commanding officer is responsible. Ultimately, and the leader of the army or the leader of the country is responsible. He's just a servant. Or policeman. They tell the policeman, now you drive over to such and such place, they're having a big riot, you go there with your club and you start hitting people in the head. So he has to do it. But he doesn't go to jail for that. Because he's acting on the authority of government. Question?
In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's stated that Suta Goswami was expert in the Vedas, except for one portion of them. So we are to understand this isn't a disqualification?
No, because that portion, the ritualistic portion, that's not so important. The Karmakandiya section is not important. As long as even chanting mantras it's nice, but it's not the most important thing. Like they were asking Prabhupada, he was discussing Varnashram college. And so, but it's not necessarily required. The real thing is to become Krishna conscious. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, ki jai. Shri Shri Gaur Nitai, ki jai.